him. David, a very good morning to you at 11 minutes past 8. How are you? I wish you were in studio, but you're not allowed to be.
Good morning, Howard.
Yeah, how are you?
Can you hear me okay? This is something new.
Yes, it is something new, but new's not always a bad thing. It's just a temporary, David, and we'll be back to being in studio, I'm sure, in no time at all.
Absolutely. Good morning, Zanati.
Morning, David. We miss you in studio.
Yeah, Zanati really does because she thinks I need you in studio because I've been through this whole process, David, where I've tried to be kind of extra nice and extra sensitive and extra caring. And you know what? It was terrible. It wasn't working for our listeners, wasn't working for our music, and it wasn't even working for me. So now I'm just going to go back to being who I am. And you know what? We're just going to have to deal with it.
I think that's the most important thing is that we just need to, you know, as much as possible, you know, if you were different to how we usually have you, then we'd be shocked. We need things to be predictable and consistent as much as possible.
Yes. So. All right. So there we go. You're going to have me as unpredictable and as inconsistent as possible. David, we are living through very stressful times. That aside, the news yesterday that all the shuls across South Africa were being asked to close by the chief rabbi. I know it hit me very, very hard because it just became a reality. Schools are closed. Kids are at home. Most work environments are starting to, if they haven't already, move as much as possible to a work from home situation. The stress levels, and anxiety levels have got to be through the roof.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I think, you know, it's completely understandable. I mean, things are so upside down and so, you know, so different to what we normally expect in our lives. You know, our routines are completely different. And of course, then, you know, the fear that we kind of, well, that people are living under, you know, about around the virus. But I think it's so important that, you know, we listen to what the doctors are saying and what all the, medical people are advising us. But at the same time, I think it's also very, very important that we keep perspective and that we also, you know, there are a couple of things that we can do to really keep ourselves positive and to, you know, keep ourselves, I suppose, moving forward in this, like, as we say, it's unprecedented time.
Let's just start off with sort of listening to the doctors but keeping perspective. Is the message that they're giving us is please don't panic. We know what this is. In most cases, it is treatable. But we are worried about it. We're worried about the vulnerable. We're worried about the immunocompromised. We're worried about the elderly. And it can also place a terrible, terrible strain, as we've seen in Italy on the medical system. So the consequences of this are potentially very dangerous. And yet we've still got a lot of people whether it's in order to try and keep perspective, whether it's around denial, still saying, oh, it's just a flu and the economic consequences aren't worth it. And is that denial or is that, because we all measure normality and rationality from our own perspectives.
There's no question that, you know, we have defenses as human beings and sometimes they are very, very useful. You know, when we don't want to remember certain things that were unbelievably painful, you know, sometimes it's not good to remember them all at the same time. It's completely overwhelming. We close down. But, at the same time, on the other hand, you know, denial can be dangerous. And for people who are kind of in that category, who are kind of like denying that this is an issue, denying that this is a huge problem, that we need to take certain steps, listen to the professionals, the medical professionals, absolutely. Denial can become a very, very negative and in this case, a dangerous, you know, situation. So I think for me, absolutely, you know, feeling, well, don't want to face, you know, the reality of what's happening.
Right.
And denial is definitely, you know, the first place that they will go.
Yeah. So what do we say to them? Or do we just leave them to come to their own realization or is it our job to try and convince them? And by doing so, we actually find, and certainly I found that is in trying to convince somebody, I went down a whole rabbit hole, which I just didn't want to do because I became, you know, you almost sort of convincing somebody how bad it is. I don't want to have to convince anyone how bad it is.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Deal with your own stuff to some extent.
No, absolutely. No, but, you know, I think what's so important is that, you know, that we realize that this is not a situation where no harm is done when someone else doesn't kind of keep to the rules and you know, keep to the advice that, that the medical professionals are giving us. Mm. I think we do have an obligation to stress to people how important it is, but then also to stress to them how their decision, even though it might be very difficult for them from an economic, psychological perspective, is having a huge impact. It's putting other people at risk, and I think that's what makes the situation different. You know, normally we would say, you know, in therapy, everyone has to come to their own realizations when they are ready in their own time. But there's one rule, and the rule is if it's impacting on other people in a negative way. You know, and in this situation, it is. So I do think for me, it's so important that we do, you know, again, whether we convince them or not, that's a different story. But I think for me, it's important that we do communicate to people that if they decide not to follow these rules, that this is very selfish and this has an impact on other people's well-being and health. So I would say absolutely speak up.
I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. How are you dealing? Are you one of those people who really genuinely do believe that that there's a lot more hype than there needs to be around this? Are you one of those people living with somebody or working with somebody who has that view, and how do you deal with it? I want to discuss the denial. We're going to take some ads. When we come back, we are going to be speaking with David about how to deal with it. He mentioned some very positive ways of getting through this next period. It is 8:17. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning. So we seem to be going through these roller coasters of emotions, each in our own way, David.
Mm-hmm. No, I think there's two points that you're making. I think the first one is that, you know, there are real economic consequences to this, and very traumatic to watch. You know, people around us and, you know, really feeling huge levels of anxiety around, how they're going to pay the bills. And I think that's a reality, absolute reality. But I do think for me, it's important that we try and control what we can. And, you know, often in situations where we are faced with things that we can't control, you know, we tend to feel overwhelmed, and it's really about trying to find those things, and sometimes difficult, absolutely. And certainly in these circumstances, difficult. To look for the things that we can control and we can do to improve the situation. So I think, I mean, the first thing I would say is definitely, you know, we are social beings. We really need and want and crave to interact with people. And I think that's the one difficulty that we have when we are kind of isolated. I think the first thing that we want to do is to make sure that, you know, and we do have that technology these days to, you know, that we are connecting with people, you know, whether it's via FaceTime or whatever it is, but to have a face-to-face conversation with a person, and not just your children, if you're looking after your children in your house, you know, all day, but to really take advantage of the technology and have a face-to-face adult conversation with people, you know, with someone that you really can connect with. I think that's very important. So that's something that we can control. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, it's very easy to lull into this, like a sense of like, well, you know, I can't do much, so I'm just going to sleep all day. I'm just going to stay in my pajamas. And I know it sounds like a small thing, but don't stay in your pajamas. I think it's so important that, you know, people who are facing, you know, as Anati said, for example, the, you know, economic difficulty, that you stay positive and productive, get onto the computer. Look for opportunities and keep to a routine as much as possible, a structured routine, even though it's at home, because I think that predictability of a routine, which I think needs to also include some exercise, is so important that, you know, that
we should just drop that whole exercise thing during this time. Like, why can't they just drop that? But no, exercise.
No, well, you know, listen, you can also still eat, Howard, you know, stuff, you know.
I don't know. I'm intermittent fasting. I don't know if one suspends it, not suspends intermittent fasting during this time, David. It's not that simple.
Well, listen, I'd say also be very kind to oneself. That's also very important. So, you know, again, you know, keep to your routine, but at the same time, if you're really finding it punishing, Howard, I think have a little meal now and then.
Have some carbs.
No, I do carbs. Yeah. I just don't do breakfast. Mm.
Some people say that that's the most important meal of the day.
Yeah, those people are the people from Kellogg's.
But I would say absolutely, you know, stick to your routine. Stick to what you know. if that what ma- you know what makes you feel safe and comfortable. But yeah, be kind to yourself. You know, again, if you have, you know, again, like as Anati's saying, you know, if you are facing financial difficulty or you are feeling overwhelmed at home with the kids, you know, it's so important that we kind of, you know, put the stick away and kind of say these are exceptional circumstances. Take a deep breath and try and see what we can control. And another thing which I find, we, you know, we tend to do now is that we tend to spend way too much time, on social media.
For sure.
And yeah. I think it's important to get information, and everyone, you know, would say that, you know, information and knowledge is power, but to a point. And I think it's so important that we restrict the amount of information and the social, you know, sites we go onto, because hysteria is, firstly, too much information is overwhelming, and it can lead to anxiety.
Yes. Yes.
And then at the other, on the other hand, you know, hysteria is infectious, probably just as infectious as corona.
Well, yeah, you know, hence the fact that our shelves have been cleared in the last few days. Unacceptable. And Melinda says, if you eat, you need to replenish supplies. Have you seen the shelves?
No, no, it's absolutely, that is pure hysteria. And I've seen numerous reports from retailers saying there is plenty of stock, there's plenty of supply. But that is kind of, you know, human nature when we sense, I think on two levels, you know, when we sense that there's danger, you know, we need to find something that we can do, that we can control, you know, in order to survive, you know, so we tend to want to go and hoard. And then, as human beings, when we see other people doing this, we think, you know, what have we missed, you know, and if they are doing this to survive, I think we better.
Well, so Mandy Wiener was speaking with Simon yesterday afternoon, and I liked what she said. She says, find something else to control. You know, find another way of getting into control. You don't have to go shopping and just clear out the shelves. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I think it's a, you know, it comes down to that, you know, trying to, as you were saying, control things that we can. But again, I think it's important that we try and not be, fearful at the moment. You know, I think fear drives us to do really, really, I suppose things that aren't necessary. And yes, a little bit of anxiety is important because that will help us to keep safe and to, you know, do what we need to do to get through this. But if we allow it to overwhelm us, then I think for me, you know, then I think not, then it's definitely not a good thing to be feeling. So I think be self-aware, be self-aware. And also very important, you know, when you said about keeping perspective, Howard, you know, yes, we as human beings tend to focus on the negative, you know, on the deaths. How many people have died? How many people have contracted it? But maybe this is a, you know, this is an appeal to high FM, it's an appeal to everyone, just to also focus on how many people have recovered and how many people are getting well. And it's the vast majority of people. And are we living in denial? No, I think it's important to say, sure, you know, that the elderly and the more vulnerable,
And the system, what I worry about is the pressure on the system. That is also that can also be completely immense and overwhelming, if so many people get this. So I don't think that's denial. I just think you're right. Just the perspective is that most people do get better from it, and we do have to keep an eye on that, and we do need to reassure our children around that. I was speaking to a friend last night, and he was saying he feels so flat, and I said to him, "But what aspect of it is it? Are you worried that you're going to die?" And he said, "No." I said, "Are you worried you're going to be ill?" And he said, "No, actually not really." And he couldn't quite get to why he felt so flat. And I think maybe it's just people are just overwhelmed.
You know, this is such a shock to the system. I mean, I know that when I talk to people, you know, you walk around, they say, "I feel like I'm living in a movie. Like, is this something that is real?" And I think it's going to take time for people to get used to the new real, the new way of living. I think, you know, again, this is going to be with us for a while. And I think it is going to take some time for people to adapt. And I think that's the other thing, is that things are moving so quickly. So you feel, you know, again, we thrive as human beings on predictability and consistency. You know, as you were saying, Howard, you know your day. You go to shul in the morning and you do what you, you know, and you head off to do your routine. Right now, things are very different. And even if we've got a new routine, it's still very new. And so I think, again, you know, it's completely understandable that we're feeling flat and and even a bit down and anxious because this is so new to everyone, and it's almost unbelievable that it's happening. So I think for me, as we're saying, be kind to yourself, control the things that you can control, and keep perspective, but at the same time, don't be in denial. You know, make sure that you understand and you do what the medical professionals are telling you. And we are all going to get through this. You know, I think it's important to say that.
100%. Kim Fine saying, I feel like this has aged me. I think a lot of us.
Right.
What? Oh, that resonated for the nutty,
no,
Kim.
I'm mentally tired because of the fact that I can't touch anything. Every time I have to touch something, I have to think, oh my gosh, do I touch it with my hand or my elbow? I feel like I can't breathe properly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
so true
tiring.
that we need to make decisions. You know, instead of being functioning in automatic, we are absolutely functioning on everything we think. We do have to think about everything.
Simple things that we never used to think about.
Yeah, and that takes a lot of energy. You know, when we are constantly on that higher level, you know, from 0 to 10, you know, normally automatic would be, I suppose, a 3 or, you know, at the most a 4. But when you're thinking about what you're touching, how you're saying hello to people, just your whole change of behavior.
Yes,
so
everything, everything is a decision. Everything is a thought process. So that's, I guess, why we are so fatigued. Aliza says, I think the flatness is often a feeling of powerlessness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It can be for sure that you don't feel like you are driving the ship. You know, you've been taking along. But as I say, that's why it's so important to control the things that you can. It's amazing. It's so fascinating. You know, I've been trying to, go for walks, and at our age, Howard, it's maybe a trot. I wouldn't call it a run. And it's just amazing actually how many people are out and about around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, walking their dogs around the streets, obviously keeping the their distance.
Right. But just trying to keep a healthy mind. Karen M says, I've got huge anxiety for people who are losing their income, and I feel their anxiety and fear. I'm also somebody who absorbs other people's energy. I feel that greatly as well. Melinda said, if only the extra energy made you thin.
Right.
Yeah. It's so true. Unfortunately, only intermittent fasting will do that. David Abramson, it's 8:31. Thank you for your wisdom and for your perspective. Hopefully soon you'll be back in studio with us. We won't have to talk to you on the phone, but either way, greatly appreciated.